Hi, this is David Shade, and today I am very honored to be speaking with my good friend, Mr. Scott McKay. Hi, Scott, how are you today?
Well, the honor's all mine, Mr. David Shade. I'm glad to be here. I'm doing great and hope you are too.
I am. I was really looking forward to this interview. You and I have talked on a number of occasions. You and I are of a very similar philosophy. You and I both love women. We love giving women incredible pleasure, and we love empowering women. You and I have both been in long-term relationships. We really enjoy being in a relationship and really bringing out that naughty side of our woman. And you and I have talked about this on a number of occasions. You are currently very happily married, yes?
That is absolutely true.
And your wife has helped me on my program that I created for women. I created a program for women called Select Men Wisely. And your wife, Emily, was a wonderful help. And she also wrote the foreword to my program. And I really appreciate you guys helping me out with that program.
Well, again, it's our pleasure. You know, Emily's very sweet and very generous. And best of all, she knows her stuff. So, yeah, she contributed some good stuff to that program.
I have followed you for a long time. I'm familiar with your work. I've interviewed you before, and I've promoted your products to my people. I very much agree with your philosophy. Tell me the basic philosophy of what you are about. I know one thing is just being the man, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, when I wrote my first book, I called it Deserve What You Want, and I thought it was the most generic title ever. I Googled my brains out trying to find another book or another person who had coined that phrase somewhere, because it seemed to me so almost basic. I mean, such an obvious thing that you would deserve what it is you want, and learning how to do that would be a very important thing to do in this life. But I found nothing. It's usually, how do I get what I already think I deserve, or how do I just get what I want? And I think a lot of dating advice talks about that. Like, hey, you know, for women, hey, go marry a man who will do what you want and give you what you want. Or guys, here's how you get a woman to do what you want. Well, what about making her want to do what you want, because you've already done something great for her? What about representing to the opposite sex everything that they want in a high-quality man or woman, so that you have the kind of women you would like, if you're a guy, literally ready to meet you and wanting to please you in return? That seems like such a better way to go about things, because if you have two people who naturally start feeling like that towards each other, well, then you're going to have a very giving relationship that's founded on all the right principles. If you have two people who get into a relationship just trying to grab at everything they can and get what they can from the other person, that's going to contribute to the ever-increasing divorce rate, if you ask me. So that's pretty foundational to who we are, David. Also, you mentioned something about enjoying women, appreciating them, and empowering them. I'll tell you what, sometimes I actually write a newsletter to my guys and we'll talk about appreciating women and how much I enjoy women and how to give women, you know, pleasurable experiences in life. And I'll have guys write me with considerable amounts of vitriol saying, you know, you're just a feminist and you might as well join a women's group and, you know, saw your penis off and hand over your man card because you're on their side. It's like, well, wait a minute. You know what? If I'm a feminist, I'm also a masculinist. I believe men and women should both be respected by the opposite gender, and we should respect each other. And, you know, if you go around life in life with an adversarial tone and indeed an adversarial attitude towards women as a man, and indeed, you know, this is not gender specific. Any woman out there who's a man hater is not going to get a guy who respects women to fall in love with her and want to be with her. So, yeah, it cuts both ways. But these guys are like, hey, you know what? I really can't stand these bitches, and all I really want to do is screw their brains out and kick them to the curb. And then they wonder why women, quote unquote, reject them and treat them badly and say mean things to them. Well, they've led. They've led in that regard. So, yeah, man, step one, if you want to be a man who's got great sex and has a woman who treats you sexually with respect and does amazing things for you, as we've talked about before together, David, you know, start enjoying them. And if you are good to these women, you're going to have a lot to enjoy. I mean, they're soft. They like to serve you. They like to bring you joy and femininity and happiness, and they like to giggle when they're happy. They can make your life very good if you let them. Some of them can cook. I mean, this doesn't suck. If you just start by treating these soft, incredibly delicious creatures with just the rights and privileges you would treat any other human being, it really starts going very well for you from there. And man, I do love women. I think they're soft. I love touching them. I love listening to the sound of their voice. I love how they smell. I'm sure you're like me. Sometimes I'm a happily married guy, but if a woman passes me on the street and she smells good, I will exhale and make sure I inhale that aura as she goes by. It's just one of those things that make life great. I mean, if you're a guy, ask yourself this question. Do women make my life better, or do they make my life more miserable? And if the answer is the latter, hey, listen closely, because we're going to try to sway you in the other direction so you can be here where we are, enjoying life full of women.
We live in a wonderful world, my friend. We could go on and on, but I want to tell my clients, I have always highly recommended your products, and I always will. Okay, I really appreciate you talking with me today. We are going to talk about mental foreplay and a little bit about sexual escalation. I know that in your marriage, things are going really good, as we say. So I know that you are doing the mental foreplay on a regular basis to keep her motor running, to get her excited about being with you. And this is an ongoing thing that has to be going on. And you're doing the sexual escalation thing. You are definitely an expert in this, and you and your wife are also dating and relationship coaches, so you're able to speak to this topic. So we're going to just roll with it, Scott. We're going to talk about mental foreplay, which is basically pretty much ongoing all the time, and sexual escalation when the moment is right. Do you want to just roll with this?
Sure, man. If you want to give me some pointers on where to start, or else I can just start from just about anywhere.
I'm interested in what is your overall philosophy of mental foreplay?
Well, I'll tell you what. If you're a guy and you just think about sexuality as follows, that there's certain people with sticks and certain people with holes, and you put the stick in the hole, then boy, are you missing out on a lot of really exciting and very fun stuff in life, other than just, you know, bumping uglies together. And again, if you're all about just having physical sex, you know, women may comply with that. They may just spread their legs and let you bang them. But I don't know. Show me a guy. I've always said this. Show me a guy who thinks women are a bunch of dead lays, and I'll show you a guy who's just not very good in the bedroom and probably doesn't hold women in general in very high esteem. And that's what he's getting in return. Again, he's leading. Hey, look, women are very playful, fun creatures. And they are also very sexual creatures. And one of the keys to unlocking a woman's mind is to know that for her, it can be very sexual very early while you still have your clothes on, while you're just looking at each other, while you're just talking to each other. That is much fun for her. She is plugged right into that as much as she is anything that's going to happen later. You know, obviously, if she's having a wild screaming orgasm like you teach guys how to do, David, that's going to be definitely the climax, and that's the right word for it. But all through the day, having that build up, having that tension increase, like water being just stored up against a dam until it breaks at the very end, that is a lot of fun, and it makes the sexual act itself a lot more enjoyable and a lot more fulfilling later on. Guys somehow miss out on this, and I think if I could put this in words for a guy so that he could understand the value of taking under consideration what we're talking about here. Some of you guys out there are too pump chumps. You know, you're getting naked with a chick. You can't wait to rip her clothes off. You don't even, you know, you can sit there and masturbate over a Victoria's Secret catalog. And then when you have a woman in her underwear in front of you, you rip her underwear off without even enjoying it. And then, you know, you bend her over and you pound her a couple times, you squirt your load and you're done. And your whole sexual experience that you have been so excited about was like under 5 minutes. Well, Some of you guys are even better than that, and you can last for half an hour, an hour. But no matter how long you last until your balls turn blue and explode, it could have been a lot longer, as in all day or all weekend or however long it takes building that up, and you're just missing out on some fun there. So, yeah, man, I absolutely recommend starting with the flirtation early and often and letting it ramp up throughout the day, and there's just a wealth of ways you can do that.
This is contrary to what a lot of married men do in their long-term marriages, where, you know, they're at work all day, their wife's at work all day, they come home, they take care of the kids, they take care of dinner, they take care of the house, all the stuff that has to go on. And then they both go in the bathroom and they brush their teeth and they go in the bedroom, put their pajamas on, and they lie down in bed and turn off the lights. And then the guy turns to his wife and hopes he's going to get some.
He asks nicely if he can get some.
Yeah, and that does not work. And that's because no mental foreplay was done. Nothing was done to excite her throughout the day.
I'm going to go ahead and talk about this in terms of being a single guy who's just meeting women along the way during the day, and also from the context of being a guy who's married.
Yeah.
Here are some things that are very common to both situations. First of all, if you can inject some lightness, some silliness, and some humor in your flirtation, it's going to bring out that femininity in a woman. Because remember, women are by their nature feminine in the way that they love to bring fun and joy and happiness. That is all femininity at work. So when you can instigate that kind of feeling or that kind of response in a woman, then you're already going to start getting her to connect with you at a sexual level automatically, you know, because you're bringing out the femaleness and you're giving her some fun. And what that's doing is that's being credited to you as masculinity, even as you're just making her feel more like a woman. One of the ways I like to look at it is, you know, like sometimes you'll see in a movie where a woman will have a bunch of papers and she'll drop them all over the floor and go, oops, silly me. And she'll bend over to pick up the papers, and a guy will come and help her pick up those papers and hand them back to her with a little smile, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, check yourself here, guys. Just with me describing that well-known scene out of a TV show or a movie or a commercial, what was your attitude towards it? Was it, that guy is some kind of chode because he just basically gave his power away and complied with picking up her stuff and serving her? Or did you realize that what that woman's doing is giving you a chance to be her hero and rescue her as a damsel in distress and kind of feel masculine, feel like a man? Do you feel like you're giving your power away when you do that? Were you to do it? Or do you feel like you're in hero mode and rescuing her? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The answer's up to you. If you're subservient and just trying to kiss her feet on the way up, that's one thing. But if you recognize that this woman is probably trying to flirt with you and giving you a chance to have her make you feel like a man, and she thanks you for it and kind of bats her eyelashes, that is flirtation. And think about how that makes you feel. Like, if you've ever rescued a woman from anything, you feel like a man, and it makes you feel, well, more sexual because you're doing something male in the presence of a woman. Well, whenever you instigate a feeling of femininity in a woman, you're already starting to get her to think sexually towards you. That's where it all starts. Acknowledging that male-female dance starts that mental foreplay process going. You see what I mean?
Uh-huh. I like it.
Yes. So let's say you're in a coffee shop, okay? And you like the little gal behind the counter. And there's another gal behind the counter with her. But she drops something and then she suddenly disappears behind the counter for a second to pick it up right as you get up to the counter. You look at her, you look at the other girl, and you notice that she just got up from being behind the counter. And you kind of raise one eyebrow with a smirk and go, what were you doing under there? Hmm. And then she just turns red and starts giggling. Watch how the two girls look at each other, look at how they relate to you. And if you see that little naughtiness in their eyes of like, I bet I know what you were thinking, or they even start verbalizing that, then it's on.
Yes.
It's on with both of them. And then, you know, from there, you can take it in all kinds of sort of directions. But that little flirtation, and flirtation is no more really at its baseline level and defining it as any interaction between, say, a heterosexual male and a heterosexual female that would be really, really awkward between two heterosexual members of the same sex. Any interaction. I mean, it's interaction reserved for someone you're going to potentially be sexually interested in at any level. It doesn't have to be, hey, nice shoes, let's screw. You know, it doesn't have to be so blatantly sexual. It's anything that just gets that dance going, that gets the juices flowing. So, yes, playful, a little bit naughty, anything like that is going to start being mental foreplay. One time I was watching an episode of House, you know, with Hugh Laurie, who's a wonderful actor. And if you've ever watched the show, the plot is that Hugh Laurie is a very gifted doctor who has a very snide, sarcastic attitude, is a little bit manipulative, and tends not to really care about people's feelings much. So people, especially people who don't know him very well, just think he's like a gruff guy with nothing going on. Well, if you watch the show, you also know that for most of the seasons of the show, he works for his ex-wife, who's the director of the hospital. But he's a doctor. He's never going to want to be in an administrative position ahead of her. So it's kind of always this awkward little dance because she's technically his boss, but she can't tell him what to do. Well, one time in one episode, there are some interns kind of being given a tour of the hospital. And one or the other of them is leading the tour. I can't remember. But the other one starts chiming in, clearly trying to derail what the other one's doing. And they kind of get into it a little and tell each other to go away. And one thing leads to another. And, you know, everybody standing there sees this really awkward kind of pointed conversation happening between House and his ex-wife. And then, you know, they continue back to what they were trying to do, where they left off. And one of the interns is seen whispering into the other's ear, man, those two really hate each other.
Mm.
And without breaking stride, the other intern responds to her friend saying, no, that was foreplay.
Ha ha.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
I get a little chill up my spine because I've actually been at summer camp before with a little gal, and we just rubbed each other the wrong way. I mean, we just tried to outsmart each other. We were constantly just trying to derail each other. We didn't get along in the purely social sense. But both of us, if we had been brave enough just to throw it on the table, I think we really just wanted to pound each other's brains out.
Mm.
I think we really just were very horny for each other. And that not getting along just made it a little naughtier and a little more potentially horny than if I ever just ripped her pants down and gave her what she'd been begging for this whole time by pissing me off so much. You know, it's just weird, this whole idea of sexuality. You don't necessarily have to like someone to be sexually attracted to them. And sometimes the way two personalities work out together isn't textbook social perfection, but there is an absolute chemistry there that can't be denied. And that's what you're really ramping up, anything that promotes that chemistry. So definitely doesn't have to be this Mr. Nice Guy thing. It can be you challenging her. It can be you making her life difficult. That's why teasing women is so darn effective sometimes, because it shows you just don't care what she thinks of you. You're not here trying to impress her. You're not trying to appease her. You're the captain of all that you survey. You're a little bit of a leader. You may even be a little bit of an influential or even dominant personality vis-a-vis who she is. And if she pushes back, that just means you're pushing each other. You're engaged, you know, you're involved with each other. And if the sexual attraction is there, the more you get involved with each other, the hornier you're going to get for each other.
Yes.
You see what I mean? Kind of a nebulous idea there of how you don't have to like someone to be sexually attracted to them. But anytime you get that flirtation rolling, anytime you're instigating, joking, teasing in any way that you just wouldn't be doing with another guy, if you're heterosexual and you're a guy, you're doing the mental foreplay thing. That's what you're doing. You're getting the skids greased, literally, so that ultimately there is going to be a sexual explosion. If you've seen these movies where people kind of just do this little dance of interacting with each other. And finally, when they get alone and have the chance, they just tear each other's clothes off and go at it. A lot of comedy movies really know how to play this up, you know, because it is funny sometimes to people watching from outside. You know in my life, I've had some embarrassing moments because I'm talking to someone I don't get along with or kind of arguing with a woman, and one of the other women observing the whole thing would be, oh God, why don't you two just get a room and have sex? You know, she'll just call it out on the table if she's that kind of woman. They tend to be a lot more astute at seeing this stuff and realizing it for what it is. A lot of times we as guys are engaging in it and we don't even realize what's going on ourselves. We don't see it near as sexually as the woman does. She's getting turned on sometimes in spite of us. And I mean, a lot of guys who lack the sexual confidence to see situations for what they are, vis-a-vis maybe what they would see if other guys were engaging in something similar and they were looking on as a third party, a lot of these guys just completely miss out on it. And the woman may even be like, hey, you know what? Push this a little further. You know, if making you mad isn't working, she'll try to make you a little more mad. She'll try to be a little bit more irritating, or she'll just try to get in your face a little bit more. And that is this whole idea of mental foreplay. Now, granted, sometimes a man and a woman clearly like each other and they're just joking with each other and they're serving each other and they're doing things for each other. I mean, I used to work in food service, and any guy who's ever worked in food service as a waiter or whatever typically works around a lot of women who know how to be social. And I'm sure if you're in the sound, within the sound of my voice, and you have worked in food service, you've seen this happen, not necessarily with you, but certainly watching as a third party other people. When you work around a bunch of women, the flirtation starts and the sexuality gets ramped up. And sometimes it's very flirty and friendly, and sometimes it's adversarial, but don't kid yourself. It's still sexual attraction. And it's very nice. All of it is fun in its own way, no matter how it presents itself. But anytime you've got a woman and she's doing something she perceives to be fun, or there's even a little bit of tension there between you, whether it's perceived to be positive or negative emotional tension, a lot of times there's some sexual energy under there, especially if it's between a man and a woman. If a woman doesn't like you and she doesn't get along with you, she's generally not going to keep feeding you grief. She's just going to try to get away from you, especially if she feels threatened by you. So when women just are very adversarial in a fun way that's not really a digging, insulting way, but just kind of like, I use that word again, trying to derail you a little, just to kind of rattle you and see what happens, that's flirtation. That's mental foreplay. The whole idea of her doing little things for you, doing little favors for you, just wanting to be around you and kind of help you with your thoughts or what you're doing, that's all mental foreplay. I remember one time I was, again, at another summer camp, and I was assigned a very unpopular speaking job. There was a job that was very exciting to be the speaker for, and then there was another seminar happening at the same time where it just was a bummer to have to be the speaker for that. But it was an honor for me to do that, and it was a tip of the hat to me because it was harder to give that talk. It was harder to talk to the people in that room, and it took more skill to make it work out well. But they asked for volunteers to kind of help out with the seminars, you know, whichever seminar was going on. And remember, I was in the most unpopular seminar of all. And when it came my turn, this cute little gal, I'll never forget her or her face or her name because she was just precious. Somewhere, some guy is incredibly fortunate to be married to this woman because she's just fantastic. Unfortunately, she lived too far away from me. And little Anna's feminine hand just shot up with pride. And she said, me, I'll do it. And I immediately knew what was up because nobody in their right mind would volunteer to be with me in that. And everybody else in the room knew what was up. And sure enough, that little gal and I basically turned that meant to be unpleasant experience into a rather blatant display of mental foreplay for everybody in that seminar. And see, she was basically saying to me, I like you. It was a convenient way for her to say, I like you. I'd rather be with you than do something else that's going to be perceived as more fun. And what did I do? I honored her for that. I made sure I added a little fun to this experience because, frankly, I was more in tune with the fact that I was being made instantly horny on the spot by the fact that this little gal wanted to be with me in this thing than I was concentrating on what I should be talking to these people about anyway, because I think I was about 22 at the time. So mental foreplay is not only fun, it can be very powerful. It can be an incredible boost to your self-esteem, and all you really have to do is kind of take a bite out of that apple after she's taken a bite first, and then just you get rolling and the flirtation starts. And sometimes it will come to fruition sooner than later. Sometimes it'll take all day. If you're just starting to kind of flirt with a woman, say, that you go to class with at college or whatever, it may take all semester. It just depends on the personalities involved. And there's really no shame in that. But it really is fun. And I think the best way I know how to describe it, David, is it not only makes you feel alive like an extreme sport, it makes you feel alive as a man. It makes you feel sexually alive. And you just gotta love the lasting experiential benefit of it, that this can go all day if you let it, and that's okay. So many guys try to rush everything sexually, and what a shame, right? Because you miss out on all of these little nuances that are really fun and really make you feel like a man and really make her feel female. And there's nothing like watching a woman you're attracted to just start boiling over with femaleness over the course of a period of time. It's like watching a flower bloom, you know?
Yes.
A lot of fun.
I like what you were talking about, that you were using emotional tension to create sexual tension.
Oh, yeah.
By flirting, by teasing, by even leveraging conflicting situations. But because it's the difference of the genders, it gets interpreted and experienced as sexual tension. It's very interesting how emotions and sexual are so intertwined.
Well, let's take the two examples of the women I mentioned at the two respective summer camps. I mentioned the one girl's name, Anna. She was just sweet and adorable, had a beautiful voice, and she did nothing but kind things for me and agree with what I said. And you know what? I would have loved to have ripped her clothes off and just watched her have orgasms. I would have loved that. Okay? Because she was so female and so cute and so supportive of me and so friendly, and we got along so well. But let's talk about the other gal. Okay, her name was Jen, actually, as it turns out. Might as well give her a name, too. And there are enough Jens and Annas in the world that I'm not ratting anybody out here. It's been so long, too. Well, Jen and I didn't get along. We were just sending little jabs at each other all the time and trying to derail each other. And, you know, in that case, actually, it was another woman who did exactly what I suggest happens sometimes. She said, you know, why don't you two just admit you're crazy about each other and stop boring us with all this crap? She said something to that effect, and we just looked at each other like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, turned our noses up and left. Because I really was irked by her. She drove me nuts, and I drove her nuts. We did not get along. But I'm going to tell you something. I would have loved to have ripped her clothes off and watched her have orgasms equally as much as I would have loved to watch that happen with Anna. Equally. From a sexual perspective, really, the whole visceral animal attraction thing was no different. How it played off in terms of mental foreplay, very different. Now, somebody's probably out there saying, well, Scott, you know, what in the world? Why didn't any of this ever happen? Well, you're dealing with me 25 years ago or 20 years ago. I was very different in terms of how bold I was and how much I understood women back then. So you got to cut me some slack. This is the old Scott I'm talking about here, not necessarily who I am today. But yeah, I mean, if I could go back in time and unscrew my cranium and pour that knowledge into my head, I sure would have liked to have had it, especially with Jen, because I would have just grabbed her by the hair and kissed her at some point. She probably deserved it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but that's the essence of it. And yeah, you're right. A lot of guys just miss out on it. They don't even look for it even.
And because you had done the emotional tension, it had elicited sexual tension in her. And you would have gotten a powerful response if you just grabbed her hair and kissed her.
And you know what? Let's be fair. Since then, I have seen it happen as it's meant to play out. as an adult.
Tell me about that.
Years later, I've actually been out with a certain woman who had a rather strange personality. First of all, she was incredibly sexy in a very tomboyish girl next door way, which I personally like. You know, she likes to go hunting and she has guns and stuff like that. You know, chicks with guns kind of thing. But she just had one of those feminine auras that says, I was born for sex. She was just so overwhelmingly sexy that you couldn't help but think of sex when you're around her. I mean, a lot of women are very cute, but you can kind of get past that if you got work to do. This woman is, her sexuality was a distraction. She was so sexually hot. Well, you're laughing because you know exactly.
Oh, yeah.
You can't, there's not anything about her that will not stop distracting you from how she smells, how she talks, how she is, how she moves her fingers. You know, ever had a woman just turn you on with just the way she moves her fingers when she talks? Just, it's irritating. You can't get anything done except her.
Right.
Well, she had a very big problem in the dating world, though. She's what I call a non-reactor. She wouldn't give you squat in terms of any kind of indication she was sexually attracted to you, at least not literally. You couldn't even tell if you were having fun on the date together, right? Well, we got to our third date, and I said, you know what? This is madness. This chick wouldn't even be here on a third date with me if she didn't like me.
Right.
So I just started whispering in her ear. I said, and we were sitting in a jazz club. She was sitting next to me, and I just whispered in her ear. I said, this has gone on long enough. She turned around and looked at me like with a whatever, like, what are you talking about? Did we talk about the band? I go, no, I'm talking about this. And I looked her in the eyes and I looked at her mouth and I looked back at her back in the eyes again. And I tilted my head and she just sort of looked at me. I grabbed her. She had a ponytail. I grabbed her by her ponytail and I tilted her head for her. And that's when she finally closed her eyes and opened her mouth. And I kissed her. And she literally gave a little moan when I kissed her. This chick had not been kissed right by a guy who knew how to have the balls to recognize mental foreplay for what it was and perhaps ever. It never happened.
Yeah.
Just had a bunch of frustrated dudes run off and go, you know, you're just a tease or I don't know what you think or I don't want to go out with you anymore. She always wondered why she couldn't get past a second date with anybody. Well, she doesn't give anything to go on. So I just had to fly by wire, okay? Instrument flight rules for all you pilots out there. It was just overcast and cloudy with a low ceiling. I had no idea what was going to happen. But if she was going to slap me, by God, let's get it over with so I can drive you the hell home instead of wondering what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Which is the way a man would think about it instead of a needy guy who's unsure if he's ever going to get a date again. But certainly, certainly, it is absolutely amazing to watch when a woman loves the idea of mental foreplay and loves the idea of being sexual with you, but has no idea how to engage in it herself or even to give you any indication that it's working. When you kind of teach this woman how to do that, it's amazing to watch their sexuality explode like a honking supernova.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what happened from that moment on that night? Starting with us kind of enduring the rest of that little jazz deal where we were to the point where we could get home with each other was just absolutely amazing. It started simmering from there until it exploded later. And yeah, that gal, she wasn't used to it. Sometimes you have to really engage yourself as a man with a position that you're saying, okay, look, I'm not going to let myself down here. I'm going to trust that if this woman is showing any indication, first of all, that she does like me, I'm going to follow through with that. But that if you've gone out on a second or a third date with a woman and you just don't know, you've got to trust. You've got to fly by wire and you've got to say, all right, I am going to start to get this flirtation, to get this heat turned up a notch here so that we can see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And usually you'll be rewarded for that.
Yeah. All right, Scott, I'm liking this using emotional tension to create sexual tension. Now I'd like to talk about what a man does in his ongoing long-term relationship, or in your case, a marriage.
Well, Emily and I are very happily married to each other, and we like having sex with each other even after having known each other for 7 years. Man, what a great idea that is to marry a woman who is not only incredibly sexy to you, but you know will age well and will remain sexually healthy going forward, has a healthy attitude towards sex, because that's stuff that you can carry with you for years. So Emily was the most sexually attractive little creature. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I couldn't have ordered her up from God any better than she is sexually for me. I mean, in every way, even experientially. So I do like having sex with her. She had the common sense not to blimp up 300 pounds eating Kentucky Fried Chicken and bonbons after we got married. She still respects herself and me enough to look good for me. I try to do the same for her, although she likes to feed me Mexican food. But, you know, we still do the best with what we got for each other. We still take a bath. We're still clean for each other. So we're always kind of hot and ready on the tarmac with the engines blazing, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always potentially in the mood. One of the great things that you can do when you're in a relationship with someone, and I guess this all kind of falls under the category of keeping things hot, keeping things interesting. Yeah, you change things up, but you always play on the naughty or the bad or the we shouldn't be doing this. You add a little thrill to things. Anytime you're engaging in something that you probably shouldn't be doing, that takes the mental foreplay that you're both used to and it puts it in a whole new light in a fresh new situation. It kind of changes the scenery for the mental foreplay because she knows my personality and I know hers. We can't just rely on each other's personality only to get mental foreplay done. You know, we have to be sitting in a movie theater with other people around us and I text her a message going something to the effect of, I am going to give you the most raging orgasm after we get out of here. You know, because you can't say it out loud. Anytime you're in a stodgy meeting with someone else and you can't say things, you start sending little flirty text messages to her to make her giggle out loud. And everybody looks at her like, why did you giggle? And she goes, oh, nothing. And then she texts me something back while she's giggling under her breath that is equally naughty and completely, utterly, socially unacceptable to say out loud in that context. And man, that is mental foreplay at its finest.
I like it. Yeah, that is naughty. That is bad. That is something we shouldn't be doing because it's a sexual comment in a completely inappropriate context. But because it's right. Private and over text message, it does not violate social norms because it was private.
Yeah, we've been out to dinner with other stuffy couples who were too dead serious and I was playing with her under the table or her, me. You know, we do that kind of stuff. She has this deal where she's wearing heels. Emily has very cute, sexy feet. I call them Betty Rubble feet. And I like to give her foot massages and stuff like that. And she'll start just rubbing her toe up the side of my calf while we're in business meetings together, if we're all at a table or something, just because that's mental foreplay. It's this little secretive, naughty thing. Anything naughty or secretive. Those are two great words. Camp. Both of those words right in the forefront of whatever you're doing and ask yourself, is this secretive? Is it naughty? And you're going to be on a wonderfully good hot track to being very, very good at mental foreplay.
Very good. I like that.
If no one's allowed to know what's going on here, then it is naughty. So the secretive and the naughty actually kind of walk hand in hand.
Yeah.
So we're very good at looking for places. We like to travel the world. We're very good at looking for places to have sex where we might get caught. You know, things like that, that's very naughty. And even talking about it is very naughty mental foreplay. You know, the whole, I'm going to do this to you later. We're going to have to find a place to do it. I don't know how much sex they have in Vatican City. Okay. But we can tell you that it's happened at least once.
Ha.
How's that?
Very good.
Emily has given me blowjobs on commercial flights.
Nice.
Which you can get arrested for.
Mm-hmm.
you know, we fly on 13, 14-hour flights, and we mentally foreplay each other till we can't take it anymore because it's not allowed on an airplane.
Yeah.
Anytime you're in a situation where you just can't have sex, it's good to make each other horny because it's going to start making things hotter and hotter.
Mm.
Something that may surprise you is even if you have children, little rugrats around the house, mental foreplay can be even hotter because you have to somehow conceal it from the children while you're doing it.
Ooh.
Which gives you a lot of creative options. Sometimes the kids will be watching TV in the living room, and we have one of those houses that has kind of the open kitchen, great room effect with the big TV, you know. and the kids can be there, and we can be over on the other side, and we'll be cooking dinner together, or washing dishes, loading the dishwasher, just doing something in the kitchen. And I'll come and I'll grab her ass and start whispering things in her ear. I've pulled her pants down. I've pulled her dress up all while the kids were in the other room. You know, we know exactly what's going on. Nothing to call, you know, Child Protective Services about. It's all on the total deal. We know exactly what's appropriate in front of kids and what's not. But see, that is mental foreplay. That is naughty and secretive.
Yeah.
That's exactly the kind of thing I'm talking about.
Very good. And I see how you have leveraged the... it's sexual, but it's the inappropriate context. That's what creates even more tension. So you're leveraging that to create more tension.
Right, yeah. I mean, whispering things in her ear when nobody else can hear you and giving her a little look. We've been across the room from each other publicly, and Emily has done the Sharon Stone Basic Instinct move at me from the other room. And it's not that I've never seen her underwear before. It's just that I just... it makes me think, I love this chick.
Mm-hmm.
I just love this chick. I love having sex with this chick. I just want to go ravish this chick. This chick deserves more orgasms. Okay? You know, Emily will do things like if she finds anything, and you got to understand, she is the most socially acceptable sweetheart around people we barely know, you know.
Right.
If she finds anything that's remotely phallic, in and around town when we're running around, or anytime we're in a situation with someone else or when a movie's on, she'll look at me with this look, and I'll know exactly what she's thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have that energy with each other.
Yeah.
And I'm forever whacking her on the butt. I'm forever grabbing her ass. I'm forever trying to tickle her. Tickling is such amazing physical foreplay, you know. But it can be accompanied by the mental foreplay, and it should accompany mental foreplay sometimes.
I like this.
One thing I think I want to add to this conversation is we're not always naked and having sex just because we can be. I mean, and that's the function of us knowing each other very well and having had sex a lot of times. But, you know, even if the kids are gone or we're alone or whatever, sometimes we're still going to do these fun, flirty things that lead up to the sex, even though the bedroom's just there and we can start having sex anytime we want. Sometimes when the kids aren't here, we have sex on the computer table or in the kitchen, or
mm-hmm.
we've had it in the backyard at night and hope the neighbors weren't listening, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All of that stuff. You know, you've got to kind of take this as a holistic view of how do I feel towards making my partner horny and enjoying that process of getting horny together and making it happen. You see, the secretiveness and the naughtiness, I can't really put into words why it makes people so horny, but you know, you and I have talked about this elsewhere, that women all have a naughty side. They want it brought out. And the whole idea of we shouldn't be doing this, or it's taboo, we might get caught. Once you've married someone and you both have rings on your finger, the actual sex act is not taboo anymore.
Right.
So in order to have that kind of thrill, you've got to do it in places that are taboo, or in ways that are taboo, or at times that are taboo. And that really does give you that same feeling of, man, we better just keep this secret. We better not get caught.
I like this. Keep it exciting. Introduce taboo in each situation.
Well, think about why people who are married and have affairs are so easily drawn into that, because they shouldn't be doing it. Two married people who are married to someone else shouldn't be doing the wild thing together, and that makes that sex better because of the taboo.
Right.
Well, a lot of people think they need to go outside their marriage and cheat to make that happen. Nothing could be further from the truth. Imagine enjoying that same emotional rush without having to feel the guilt or hide it, or go to your grave with a dark secret, or any of the bad stuff, or making someone else pregnant, or getting their STDs, or, you know, imagine being able to get that same thrill within your own relationship. Well, that's how you do it.
Yes. Very good. That is a very powerful point.
I think so. It's a true, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Making most of the situations in some way taboo. So a lot of what you have discussed is leveraging tension, leveraging dichotomies, leveraging, what other words can I use to describe that?
Well, just emotion, taking some form of emotion and going ahead and letting it play out. I mean, one thing that I can add here also is that Emily and I don't always blow daisies up each other's kilts. You know, sometimes we're mad at each other. Sometimes we piss each other off. We never insult each other. We never hurt each other. We love each other deeply. But there have been times where we're upset with each other. And I'll say, you know, you've been bad and I should spank you. Or, you know, as soon as I get over this, I'm going to give you orgasms so powerful that you're going to be forced to forget why I made you so upset. I'm going to have to forget whatever made me mad just now.
Mm-hmm.
That energy, even in the context of our relationship, sometimes occurs. And you know what? It's sort of welcome because, again, it's a change of pace. It's something naughty. It's something prohibited. I mean, you're not supposed to have sex and carry out a grudge on your wife, are you? You're supposed to be making tender, sweet love all the time. Well, she likes it. You know, we don't really have rough makeup sex or grudge sex or anything like that, per se. But when you start mixing up the emotions you feel in a very trusting, loving relationship that's transparent, like the one Emily and I have, it tends to be exciting, tends to be fun.
Well, you have helped explain why makeup sex is very hot. It's because powerful emotions were introduced.
Yes. What it does is, in retrospect, it makes the whole argument foreplay.
Yeah.
You see that? And good couples know how to do that.
Yeah.
Healthy couples know how to do that. Making dinner can be foreplay. Having friends over for dinner can be foreplay. And you know, we can't wait till they leave. You know? We've just been making each other horny because we have these people in our house, you know?
Yeah, well, you two were subconsciously flirting to each other in a way that the friends did not see. You were speaking a secret language to each other.
Right.
Yeah.
Here's something you may or may not agree with that we do. But we sometimes hold certain special sex acts or sexual experiences in reserve. We don't just do all the wild, extreme, absolutely most horny things every time we have sex. And if we really want to mentally foreplay each other, we suggest doing one of these things we don't actually do all the time in that moment. And it just, that keeps things fresh and exciting too.
Well, that's a very important point. Of course, you don't do everything on every sex episode. And a lot of times you just make love, or you just have intercourse, all right? Yeah, you don't do everything on every episode. And that means that the exciting stuff that you occasionally do, you can always leverage and introduce that into the mental foreplay to increase her excitement even more.
Sure, sure.
Agreed completely.
You know, just practically speaking, there are things you can start doing that, yes, in a way, telegraph to the other one that you're starting the mental foreplay process, and it can be kind of even predictable, but it's fun because it's predictable. And it's predictable in the way that you show how well you relate to each other. Like, for example, Emily and I actually sit next to each other in our home office here, okay? She has her computer, I have mine. Sometimes I'll look at her and just kind of smirk and start typing. And she'll say, oh, God, I'm about to get an IM. And I'm IMing to her on Yahoo, something dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Right. She knows it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
But she also knows that it's fun. And this is what we do with each other. We're just kind of doing our thing. We're doing our signature move with each other.
Mm-hmm.
We can be out socially and somebody will say something that triggers an inside sexual joke between us, and we'll just look at each other and raise our eyebrows because we know each other that well. That's predictable, but it's part of the mental foreplay because it reminds us that we're close.
I like that.
You see that?
I like that.
Isn't necessarily always about being so different and trying to feel like you're with a stranger instead of someone you've known so much so often. Sometimes it's even hotter to acknowledge how well you actually do know each other. Does that make sense?
I like it.
Right. You know, and that can translate to nobody knows how to do this to you the way I do, and that means I'm going to do this for you later.
Ah, that's very powerful.
Or bringing up memories, too. Like, remember the time this happened? Ooh, yeah. Right? Like, anytime we're on the top of a roof, and, you know, sometimes people throw parties on the top of a roof.
Hmm.
I'll just say, you know what this reminds me of, right? And she'll go, yes.
Ah.
Because one time in our honeymoon, we had sex on the top of the roof at the hotel. We just walked right up to the top of the steps and did it.
Very good.
Not necessarily really daring, because no one's ever going to walk up there. But daring enough, since you're in a different country and you're on your honeymoon, and, you know, the roof of that hotel was actually lower than, and there were still buildings around us that had more floors than that one, so people could actually probably even see us. You know, getting caught, being in a hotel and leaving the blinds open and maybe somebody can see you, you know, that little bit of voyeuristic stuff, you know, that really shows you how naughty your girl can be.
Yes.
All that stuff, just to see how far you can push that envelope sometimes.
Nice.
And even talking about it, or talking about it after the fact especially, kind of perpetuates it as a tradition. Like, we're going to do this again and again, because the memories of it are good memories. And you can foster those good memories in a woman. It's almost like sometimes you can watch a movie and your memories of that movie and how much you laugh about it after the fact are actually better than what you thought of the movie while it was going on. Because I've watched movies I've seen years ago that I always laugh about and talk about and quote from. Then I actually see the movie again and I realize there's a lot of dead parts in it. Well, if you have a sexual experience with a woman that you want her to enjoy, then incorporate that positively into your mental foreplay going forward, and that is likely to happen more often.
I like it. Wow. See what I mean? This is powerful stuff.
Well, good. Glad to help.
Many things that I can leverage in mental foreplay. And you have come up with some great things that are powerful in an ongoing long-term relationship where the two people already have a lot of familiarity, and you can actually leverage that.
Oh, yeah.
I like it.
But then again, you know, Emily and I do not get sick of each other. And we see each other almost all day, every day, and we still just don't get sick of each other.
And that's because you guys still do all those things.
Well, I also, like you say all the time, your own mantra is, I selected wisely.
Yeah. Yes.
You got to have a woman who's fun. You got to have a woman who's feminine. You got to have a woman who's comfortable with sex and with herself. And a woman who likes to be giggly and feminine and fun, or else none of this is ever going to work. You can't carry it all by yourself. You've got to have a partner.
Yes, you most definitely did select wisely. Absolutely. Scott, I really want to thank you. This has been great stuff, and I always enjoy speaking with you, sir.
Likewise. I appreciate giving all the content I can. I mean, a lot of this is stuff I've never even really put into words before, so I hope the guys enjoy it.
Well, you obviously are very good at it. You have a very good handle on it. And your relationship is a wonderful example of what is possible when you do these things. You know, I want to tell my guys, definitely, I recommend Scott's programs. Thank you very much, Scott. I really appreciate you speaking with me today, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.